Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the Epiphany of the Lord, Sunday, January 8th, 2012. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
So today we celebrate Epiphany, the manifestation of God to the world. And out of the some 35 different ways we could go with this homily, I've picked 7. And they have to do with the gifts we bring and how we find the Lord. So the first is that Jesus' birth was announced by the heavens themselves, right? Very creation saying of Jesus coming into the world. The Magi had been journeying for months. So sometime, maybe at the moment of conception or nearly afterwards, some astronomical sign so attracted their attention that they said, "We've got to go and see who is going to be born under this star." And so they journeyed. But it's interesting that the natural world can only take us so far. Right? So the first point is that Jesus is recognized by people way outside of the Jewish understanding, right? His local people. He was, in fact, often not recognized by the locals or even kind of shunned by the locals and instead blessed and recognized by foreigners. So this Jesus, who is the light of the world, has come for all nations. The second point is that while that natural environment can bring us close to God, it doesn't bring us all the way. I love being out in beautiful weather or even in a big storm. You just feel charged with the glory of God. This area we live in is so beautiful. But it only brings us so far. Otherwise, we end up worshiping creation and not the Creator himself. And so even the Magi, as well skilled as they were, only got as close as Jerusalem. Then they needed to talk to those who were experts in the Bible and find out, no, not Jerusalem, but the city of David, Bethlehem, is where the Christ, the Anointed One, will come from. And so they head off to Bethlehem. That's the second point. Allow the Word of God to take you that little step. It's not a big jump, right? If we recognize God in all of creation, then the revelation helps us recognize that there is a Creator who loves us and holds us in being. The third step has to do with the gifts that they bring. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, how many kings do you know that need more gold? Right? They've got plenty. They got crowns, they've got jewels, they've got lands, they've got peoples. But these Magi came and brought what they wanted to give. They wanted to give their treasure to this newborn king. And we're glad they did. Right? They recognized him as king. They announce it in Jerusalem and everyone's knees start to knock because they know how Herod will not like that. Right? Herod was so imbued with fear that he often killed people who even thought might try to take his throne. It was an awful place to live at the time of Herod the Great. What is left of his fear? Well, the south wall of the Temple Mount, the Wailing Wall, he erected that. And a little pile of rocks at the bottom of his summer palace, where he hid his tomb, for fear that others would desecrate it. We come and we offer our gifts, right? Our talent, our treasure to God. The Magi did the same. So that signifies that God is king. The next gift is of frankincense, that this Jesus of Nazareth is, in fact, God, divine. You offered frankincense only to the gods. Now, it might have been Caesar Augustus, right? But you offered frankincense only to a god. And so they offer frankincense to this little child who they recognized from the sign in nature, confirmed in Holy Scripture, as being the fulfillment of the prophecies. Do we recognize Jesus as God? Right? He can't be anything else. He's not a wise teacher. He's not a politician. He's God, which is very different. Right? Because he claimed he was God. And so if he's a wise teacher who claims he's God and is not, well, then he's crazy. But in fact, he is God. So he could make that claim. He could forgive sins. He could set people free. The next gift, that myrrh, was an anointing oil, a balm, that they used when anointing or embalming the pharaohs of Egypt. That this one would die. Now, they never applied any of the aloes or myrrh that all the women are carrying to the tomb, right, the day after the Sabbath, because the tomb's empty. Jesus, the only anointing he receives, right, is from Mary in Bethany, where she anoints his feet with the oil, the fragrant oil that fills the whole house. Right, how well do we recognize that Jesus died and rose for our sins, that his passion, death, and resurrection sets us free? Now, what are some of the other gifts we can bring? I'd suggest we need to offer our free will to God. We say it in the Lord's Prayer every time, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means not my will. If my will is being done, that's not a good thing. Right? But if I turn over my will to God, as Jesus did, right? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says what? Right? Take this cup from me, Lord. I don't want to go to crucifixion. But only if it be your will. Mary says much the same thing, right? Let it be done to me according to your word. Are we willing to give over our will to God? On my best days, maybe for a few minutes. Other than that, I'm staunchly in control, right? And probably leading myself in the wrong direction. Because my will is not God's will. But our prayer is that God's will lives and moves and breathes and has its very essence in us. So that what I desire to do is what God desires to do in and through me. But to do that, I have to offer God my free will. That's a pretty big gift. But I would suggest that there's another gift that we have not even begun to imagine giving to God. But it might be the most important gift we can give. Saint Faustina, right, who gives us the image of divine mercy, which is here on the wall. St. Faustina was a nun in Poland at just before World War II. And she had conversations with Jesus almost daily. One of the images was this, and she said, and Jesus said, have a painter paint this image and show it to everyone in the whole world. John Paul II picked up on this, right, and made not only Sister Faustina a saint, but also made the second Sunday after Easter Divine Mercy Sunday, so that everyone might know of God's great mercy. So why is this so important? Well, her revelation was that Jesus' side, when he was pierced with that lance, when the blood and water poured out, he poured out from himself all of his divine mercy, all of his forgiveness, all of his love, all of the new life and eternal life he wished to give to us. Right? And you have the sacraments representative, baptism in the water and the Eucharist in the blood. So St. Faustina is having a conversation with God, and the conversation goes something like this. St. Faustina says, or God says, please give me something that I have not already given you. And she's like, well, I've offered my whole life to you as a sister. I've made my vows to you to live here, right? I've offered all of my treasure. I recognize you as Lord. I recognize your passion, death, and resurrection. I've given you my free will. What more could I give you, Lord? And the Lord Jesus says to her, give me your misery. Give me your sinfulness. For that is what is uniquely yours. Right? All of our heads should spin around. Because that's not the first gift I thought I would give the Lord. Right? Anyone ashamed of their sinfulness? Nobody. Everybody in Petersburg raised their hand. Apparently there's a lot more shame in Petersburg. There's no sinfulness here in Wrangell. I'll let them know. Are we ready to give to Jesus something which he has not given us? Right? He's given us our abilities, our talents. He's given us our health, our well-being. He's given us our character, our strength, our faith. But the one thing he has not given us is misery, sinfulness. Right? Why would he give us that? Of course, it's the gift he hasn't given us. But can we learn to give it back? To give him something that is uniquely us. It's my sinfulness, right? My brokenness, my character flaws and deficits. And St. Faustina says, well, true, yes, that's exactly something that you didn't give me. And she said, but I don't want to give it to you because it's not worthy of you, Lord. But he said, yes, but that's all I want from you. I want your brokenness. I want your addictions. I want your sadness. I want the parts of you that aren't working. And I want you to give them to me freely, that I might transform them in the furnace of my sacred heart, that my love might burn out of you anything that is broken or sinful. Give me all of your misery, and I will set you free. The next line that St. Faustina says is so beautiful. She says, I just nestled in to the sacred heart of Jesus, knowing that even if I had all the sins of all the damned, Jesus' mercy would wash them away, for it is so much bigger than my sinfulness. She has the image of her sinfulness being a tiny drop of water, and God's mercy being like the seven seas, right? It's just so much bigger than anything that we could have done wrong. Are we willing? Right? We might be willing to write a check once in a while, give some of our treasure. We might be to volunteer some of our time and talent to the church. We might recognize Jesus as our Savior and God and Lord and King. But are we willing to give him that which is uniquely ours? Our misery, our brokenness, the parts of us that aren't working so well. It's the gift Jesus desires. How many of you would love to give the gift that someone desires, right? Of course, like people ask me, what would you like? And I kind of tell them, because they want to give you something you desire. Well, now we know what Jesus desires. He desires our brokenness. So where does Faustina go to give Jesus her brokenness? She goes to confession. She goes to the confessional, and she says, yes, Lord Jesus, through your representative, the priest, I give you my brokenness. The whole conversation came about because St. Faustina was struggling to go to confession. Any of us struggle to go to confession? Like, what do I say? I haven't done anything wrong, Lord. I'm good. Well, St. Faustina struggled, and the Lord gave her this little vision or story. And he says, it's okay. I want all of that. I want your most shameful, darkest, most broken pieces, because I want you to be free of them. I never intended them for you, nor did I give them to you. Right? That sinfulness, that brokenness, your misery, you chose yourself. And if we can learn something, right? One, that God does not give us misery. That's a blessing. And the second is that he wants to take it away from us. But I think I'm like the little child holding on to my broken truck so hard that my dad can't grip it out of my hands to put the tire back on. But it's no fun missing a wheel, but I don't want to let go of it. I think we cling too much, right? We self-identify. I'm a addict. I'm self-centered. I'm broken. I'm a whatever, right? You identify with your sinfulness, and that's not who God created us to be. God created us to be free and full of light. So if you find that you have less light than you desire, give some of the brokenness back to Jesus. He wants it. It could be his greatest gift this year, and it will set you free. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.